Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Former President Donald Trump has called on national unity, and he is absolutely right. Our focus needs to be on national unity as we move forward in this election. We can't let this violence win and divide us.
This isn't something that I want my kids to see. This is something that's going to go down in history and not in a positive light.
Obviously, we all saw what seems to be a miracle. I mean, I believe that God spared him.
I see Trump go down. Then I thought, oh my God, they killed him. And I was pretty upset. Then the president stands up and puts his fist in the air. And everybody started screaming, USA, USA.
Corey was a girl dad. Corey was a firefighter. Corey went to church every Sunday. Corey loved his community. Most especially, Corey loved his family.
It is a Monday morning, July 15, 2024, the Feast of St. Bonaventure. Good morning, Teresa Tomeo with you, and we are going to have extensive coverage this morning from a truly Catholic perspective on the horrific incidents that took place over the weekend, the attempted assassination of a former president, Donald Trump, in Butler, Pennsylvania, on Saturday. The montage, as we call it in the business, that my wonderful producer Andrew put together for us this morning, a variety of different witnesses. You also heard Speaker Mike Johnson, and you also heard Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania commenting over the weekend about the death of the man in the audience, in the rally. His name was Corey Compatore, from Pennsylvania, an engineer, a volunteer firefighter who loved God, loved his family, loved his country, and literally dove on top of his family so they would be protected from the bullets that went flying on Saturday afternoon. President Trump is fine, thanks be to God, a minor injury just on his ear. And if you hear some of the medical experts, it's really quite powerful to say that if he had turned even slightly, we would have a much different show and we'd be talking about something else this morning. So we are going to be covering this from, as I said, a Catholic perspective. We have a number of guests this morning. We're working on getting in touch with Raymond Arroyo from EWTN, of course, the world over, and from Fox News. He is in Milwaukee. He'll be joining us. And then we're also going to be talking to a priest who was interviewed by Catholic News Agency. And he actually prayed over the president at the request of the Trump campaign, who contacted him prior to the event. So we'll be chatting with him. At the bottom of the hour, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, bless his heart, is going to be joining us all the way from Australia. He's wrapping up a speaking tour. He's been there for quite some time. You probably heard him on the show in the afternoon. And he is an expert in law enforcement, working in law enforcement for many, many years. He also has a consulting firm that helps different police departments at various levels and different organizations with security issues. So I really want to get his take on this, because for someone in Raymond, I know, as an experienced journalist, has been in these situations also quite frequently. I've covered presidential events, both campaign events. I've covered actual campaigns in terms of people coming into town in Detroit and elsewhere, current presidents, past presidents, vice presidents. And to say that it was an apparent security lapse is just a lie. There was a huge security lapse. That does not happen where a building, elevated position with a straight shot at a podium of where someone is going to be speaking, in this case the former president, huge lapse of security. So we'll talk about all of that. And how are we to look at this as Catholics? So in addition to Deacon Harold, we're also going to be getting the wonderful perspective of our very own Father Mitch Pacwa. But first we go to Milwaukee, my friend Raymond Arroyo. Raymond, thank you so much. Busy, busy week for you, I know. Just let me get your thoughts on this. Just from you've interviewed President Trump many times. You've gotten to know him over the years. Just where were you when it happened? Because we're all saying that, I think, to ourselves. We'll remember where we were when this happened on Saturday. Just give me your thoughts, and thank you for joining us, first of all.
Oh, look, I'm delighted to be with you, and I'm here at the, you know, RNC, and the mm-hmm. security, as you can imagine, is incredibly tight. I mean, they've set security perimeters upon security perimeters, making it, I have to say, very difficult to get around. But when the president is staying downtown, they have to lock everything, you know,
right.
Everything in the make sure everything is secure in the perimeter, particularly after this. I was at home. I was in New Orleans, and amazingly, Rebecca and I were getting ready to go out for dinner, and I just turned the TV on absently, and then I watched this in real time, so I had eyes on it live. And I couldn't believe, when it was happening, it was like surreal, like I think I experienced what so many experienced. And then you're like, oh my gosh. And when I heard the, you know, the pops, I knew it was gunfire. The amazing thing to me, and I mean, you've touched on it, and we've been talking about it certainly here, you know, how the guy was able to get off so many rounds is the question. And I have to say, the Secret Service has a lot of answers that they have to provide. There was a huge lag time between the first shots and when they actually got to President Trump. There were at least five shots fired, maybe six, by the time, you know, Secret Service moved in. That is completely unacceptable and a heinous dereliction of duty to allow that much time to elapse. He had the wherewithal once he, I think once that bullet grazed his ear and he realized what was happening, he fell to his knees. The remarkable thing, and look, there are a couple of, I've been getting pounded, as you have, I'll bet, with people saying, look, it's the anniversary of the third, you know, vision at Fatima, and the president was spared, and, you know, look, the ways of Providence are not ours, so I'm that may or may not have had an influence. I'm sure it might have. He was certainly protected by some divine hand here. I mean, this is an incredible. Had his head been turned where it was initially, and not off to the right, he probably would have been hit square in the head with this bullet. I mean, it's an incredible, frightening thing when you go back and you look at the video and you look at the other vantage points, as I have over the last few days. But I cannot understand how this shooter had the Secret Service and local law enforcement in Pennsylvania had a full 2 to 3 minutes of being warned by attendees.
People on the ground. He's on the roof. He's got a gun. Right.
They saw him clamoring up with the gun.
Right.
How law enforcement didn't respond instantly, I don't know. But they didn't. That needs to be investigated. You know, there was also initial talk, eyewitness talk, of gunfire coming from a different direction. So, look, there are a ton of unanswered questions. The miraculous thing, and the thing that we shouldn't lose sight of here, was you have a 78-year-old candidate who's just been through multiple judicial prosecutions, dragged into courts, doing campaign events. He's in the middle of a speech. He hears gunfire. The agents are on top of him. You can imagine the trauma and the mayhem of that moment. People are screaming and yelling, and gunfire is still going on. He has the wherewithal then to stand up and do that defiant gesture of fight over the heads of the Secret Service agents before they hustle him into the car. To have that kind of presence of mind and not simply collapse into a heap of panic that any of us would have is its own incredible story that I have to tell you that it was just so unbelievable to me that that's what was happening. And again, that he had the presence of mind to do anything at that moment. I would have been catatonic.
I mean, that would have been totally understandable. And then his reaction so quickly, knowing to drop on the ground, and because that bottom part of the stage there, where they had the bunting with the American flag, the red, white, and blue. My understanding is that's bulletproof. So he knew well enough to just boom, dive down, and then the Secret Service agents got to him. As you said, there were a lot of issues there, a lot of questions to be answered, and then iconic photo of him. With the blood streaming down his cheek and the fist and the blue sky and the American flag. And I was so disgusted, Raymond, and I want to get your opinion with your journalism background as well, when I saw some of the comments from the leftist media outlets criticizing him for using the words fight when he stood up with his fist, because what he was trying to do was let the people know that he was okay and to encourage them to stand up. Oh, well, he shouldn't be using the words fight. The man, as you said, had the wherewithal to stand up and let the people know that he was okay. I'm okay. And this is the commentary we get?
Yeah, no, there was a lot of silly commentary. I mean, I still see it out there. You know, there was a Democratic strategist who sent the thing out that said, you know, it was staged, Trump did this just to get the attention. I mean, this is absurd.
Yeah.
There is no doubt this is going to profoundly reshape this campaign, this presidential campaign. You already had a situation where the current president did such a horrible job at that debate. I mean, right, left, and in the middle, everyone thought he just bombed that debate.
Mm-hmm.
But what it speaks to is something that, frankly, I've been covering for years. Look, I knew Joe Biden. I knew Joe Biden before I came to EWTN. I covered Joe Biden in the Senate. He was a source of mine. He was on the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the Joe Biden of 28 or 30 years ago. This just is not. And the decline has been marked. I have covered it. So to me, that debate was certainly nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anyone who's watched my reports on Fox would have known this. I mean, I cover him every day. I watch every event the president conducts. The decline has been pronounced, tragic, and frankly, the fact that those around him have allowed this to continue for so long without answers, with really no answers to the American public, it has been mind-boggling for a number of years. So with that all being apparent, when you see this kind of dramatic moment that we saw over the weekend of a former president being shot and standing up, frankly, Teresa, there is nothing in, people said, oh, well, this is like Ronald Reagan. Actually, it's like Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan was shot going into the Washington Hilton.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was not in the middle of a campaign. He already won the campaign. Teddy Roosevelt in 1912 was standing up, and do you know where he was speaking when he was shot? Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
mm-hmm. Yes,
the site
yes,
of the Republican
yes,
convention.
Exactly.
So the historical overlays here are simply amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Roosevelt, of course, was shot, and it was a combination of his speech and his eyeglass holder
case.
In his breast
his
pocket
eyeglass case,
that stopped
yeah.
the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Which he lived with for the rest of his life. It was lodged in his chest muscle. But he not only was shot, he got up, he finished the speech, and then he went on and was inspected by doctors afterward. It has a certain Trumpian flair to it. And I think you can't, no one should miss the historical ripples that we're seeing here. Nor how this will impact the outcome of the presidential election. It will have profound influence. I've run into so many people at the airport here in Milwaukee last night, non-political people, people who are not attentive to policy, who were so startled and inspired by what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this will certainly change the math of this campaign.
So how will your cover, what will your coverage be? You're in Milwaukee, and we know that you're a major contributor to Fox, and, of course, the founding news director of EW Chen, best-selling New York Times author. RaymondArroyo.com is the website. What will we be seeing from you, Raymond, this week and also, of course, the Eucharistic Congress?
Yeah, well, I'm EW Chen, obviously, is covering the Eucharistic Congress. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's unfortunate that it falls on the week of this, the Republican convention, just because that news event is going to be so seismic and it just kind of draws the attention. And because of this event, it only heightens the attention, I think, on what Donald Trump is going to say. It looks like he's backed off of doing interviews and is going to save his fire for, no pun intended, for Thursday night when he will deliver his address and accept the nomination here. And, Teresa, this was something we didn't even know if we'd see happen. Remember, the judge, Judge Marchand,
yes.
in that New York
mm-hmm.
case was supposed
mm-hmm.
to sentence him 5 days ago, 6 days ago. And then that was delayed because of the Supreme Court ruling. So you see the ways, how things providentially are sort of shifting. And certainly this is where the eyes of the nation and the world are going to be this week, wondering how does Trump go on? Does he issue a defiant message? Is it one of reconciliation and unity? What comes out of this? So there's a lot of expectation. I know the people here are excited. And look, I'm just going to be covering the action here. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you have much more of the political universe here than I think you even, both in attention and in attendees than were originally planned. things are shifting at the moment, and that makes for a dramatic and interesting, you know, convention. But usually these things can be pretty staid. You know what you're going to get.
Right.
The guy gets up and issues it. That's not the case this time. You see the ground shifting so quickly that things are changing by the moment, including his speech, which, you know, we heard from Jason Miller.
It's totally rewritten now. Yeah,
they're totally rewriting the speech. Mm-hmm. They gutted the original speech. So, but that's good. That's being responsive to the people and responsive to the moment. And that is what politics should be and perhaps haven't been for too long.
Yeah. Well, my friend, thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule. Our very own Raymond Arroyo, of course, founding news director, managing editor, and lead anchor for EWTN News, and also internationally known award-winning journalist, producer, and New York Times bestselling author, and a major Fox News contributor, as well as editorial advisor to the top-rated Laura Ingraham show, The Ingraham Angle. All right, we're going to be watching, my friend, and I may be calling on you again. We really appreciate it, hon. God bless.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Okay, talk soon. We will be right back on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN, of course, co-sponsored by Ave Maria Radio and the EWTN Network. Up next, we're going to Pennsylvania and a priest that was there, and he's also featured in a very excellent article on Catholic News Agency, CatholicNewsAgency.com. We'll be right back.
Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee Counties have been providing health and creating hope since 1941. It's the generosity of donors that allows them to provide necessary services such as their warming center, which provides refuge and comfort to thousands in our community. They also offer hot meals in their soup kitchens and help families make ends meet in their community closet. Even the smallest donation makes a meaningful difference. Join us in their mission by giving a donation at CatholicCharitiesFlint.org.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
I immediately was like, I'm just so glad that Donald Trump is going to be okay. And my heart goes out to people that have lost their lives.
We know, we give our condolences to the family that lost a loved one, but we had a countryman who went to a political rally and lost his life yesterday. We have those who are struggling today, and certainly our prayers are with them.
Talking about Corey Kempator, the volunteer fireman and also a father engineer who gave his life for his family, literally dove over his family to protect them from the gunshots at the attempted assassination attempt of Donald Trump over the weekend. On the phone with us now is a Catholic priest who gave a benediction during former President Donald Trump's rally on Saturday, Father Jason Charon, who's a Ukrainian Catholic pastor. Father, thanks for joining us this morning. Tell us your experience and how you came to be at the rally on Saturday. Thanks again for joining us this morning.
Yeah, well, it started out a beautiful day, and people were jovial. There's a celebratory, you know, feel in the air. I don't know how I got the call, but I got a call from the Trump campaign to begin the event with prayer. And they didn't tell me anything about, you know, what I should say or how long I could pray. And that really impressed me. And so I began the event with prayer, and everything seemed fine. People were really excited. People were in good spirits. There was no fighting, grumbling, or anything like that. It was festive.
And then what happened? Were you there when the shots rang out?
Yeah, I had went backstage, met with President Trump, spoke with him briefly, shook his hand, thanked him for what he did for Ukraine during his first during his administration, urged him to continue that same trajectory. And then as he was about to get ready to go on the stage, I left. I had a prior engagement, so, you know, there's no way I was going to get out of there in time. And I left the stage area, and I was walking on the other side of the crowd, on the other side of the barricade, and talking with the crowd. Towards the three-quarters of the way back, maybe a little more, when I heard a pop-pop, I didn't think anything of it, to be honest with you. And but before that had happened, I spoke to people, and they said, thank you for saying the prayer. And I said to them, well, it's an honor, but, you know, my job's over today, but, you know, the job has to continue, and that's the job of everyone here. You have to pray for his protection, and because there are people who want to shoot him. And I said that, and I kind of thought, oh, that's not very prudent, you know, if she could service around it. And they said, yeah, we have to keep that prayer going. And then I just kind of turned and kept walking. And, you know, little while later, I heard that indistinct kind of popping sound. And as I said, I didn't think it was a gunshot or anything like that.
So then you start hearing and seeing probably the mayhem after that. And then, of course, you get back to your parish and you learn what happened. What were your thoughts at that point, Father?
Well, I knew before then something was seriously wrong because, you know, as I was towards the back of the crowd, people started rushing out. And I was, at that point, walking towards my car. And people were outpacing me. I was going at a good clip. I didn't want to be late for my engagement, but they were going past me in droves of people. And I heard people say, yeah, it was a gunshot. At that point, I knew something was odd. By the time I got in the car, it was like a scene from the apocalypse, just kind of people everywhere. I was in my car when one of my parishioners who was you know, at the rally called me and said, President Trump's been shot in the ear.
So as a priest, I'm sure you spent some time yesterday and yourself in prayer, but also did helping people kind of wrap their minds around it. You only have a few minutes left, Father. What kind of spiritual encouragement advice would you give us this morning? Especially, I'm sure you're very, very shaken after being there when that was happening. Your thoughts this morning as we move forward.
Yeah, well, my first thoughts are really to Mr. Donald Trump is that people may doubt what you say, but they will believe forever what you do, Mr. Trump. And if he can use this opportunity to be magnanimous and to demonstrate his gratitude to God for saving his life miraculously through the hand of the Mother of God, and if he can use this opportunity to call people to turn back to God, to unite, around the core civil values of this country, but, you know, that would be wonderful. As to people, I would say, you know, these events God permits to remind us that we can steer through every storm, you know, so long as our trust is fixed firmly on Him. And we're going to come out of this better than we first entered it. And we need to pray for the family of this young man who did this.
Yeah, and also pray for the victims. We have a 50-year-old man who lost his life saving his family, and then we have two people who are still hospitalized in Pennsylvania. Thanks be to God, they're no longer in critical. They're in stable condition now, from what I understand. But this father, 50 years old, a wonderful man who loved God, loved his country, and loved his family, and he gave his life for his family. He's a volunteer firefighter and literally threw himself over his family when the shots started to break out.
Yeah, there are heroes among us, saints, and this is the sacrificing character of the saints is to lay down your life for others.
Yeah, Father, and before I let you go, I just think that this just reminds us of one of my friends on the air this morning, Matt Swain from the Sunrise Morning Show, asked me, you know, do we do anything differently as Christians now? And I said, well, no and yes. No in the sense that, as you said, we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But yes in the sense that I think this is a great time for us to be witnesses, even more so. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, the light shines brightest at the darkest hour of night. And our world and our nation and, let's be honest, our church are at a very dark period in history. And so we have no other option but to put our best foot forward, keep our eyes fixed firmly on Christ, and ask him to send the Spirit upon us as he did upon the apostles at that first Pentecost, that we may be illumined with that divine fire.
Father, God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us and for speaking with our online news outlet, Catholic News Agency. Father Jason Sharon, Ukrainian Catholic priest, offering a benediction at Trump's rally on Saturday. And also, of course, a local pastor in that part of Pennsylvania near Butler. We'll be right back on a Monday morning. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers joining us all the way from Australia with his background in law enforcement and some thoughts also from a truly Catholic perspective. Stay tuned.
The assassination attempt on the former president, Donald Trump, last night was absolutely unacceptable and tragic.
First, I was in shock because I know what gunshots sound like, so I knew they were gunshots. I couldn't tell from where they were coming from, and it just was pandemonium. And then I heard some more shots, and I couldn't quite tell where they were coming from, but I counted the first seven. They were very loud and very close, and it killed one man and wounded another woman.
Of course, comments from witnesses, as well as more comments from Governor Shapiro from Pennsylvania. On the phone with us all the way from Australia, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, the dynamic deacon, a personal friend of ours, both me and Deacon Dom, admire him greatly, host of the EWTN show, heard every day, Beacon of Truth. And he has been in Australia, where he still is, as a matter of fact. It's 11:30 p.m. in Australia, and he's on his way back to the U.S., to make sure he can be at the wonderful Eucharistic Congress later in the week. Deacon, I don't know if a lot of people know, in addition to your amazing background as a teacher of the faith, as a speaker, as a deacon, as a radio host, that you have an extensive background in law enforcement, which is one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on this morning. So just give us a little bit of a background in terms of your understanding of law enforcement and your experience. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, so and I've had the honor and privilege of serving on some of these protection details. So I served for Bush Jr. I served on a dignitary protection detail for Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama, Justice Scalia. So I have a sense of what is supposed to occur as far as preparing for an event with a high profile dignitary. I could tell you for sure because I was part of the team gathering intelligence for President Bush's visit to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say, you know, I admire the members of those protection details, Secret Service and others who risk their lives, you know, every day for protect these high profile individuals. So I'm a little surprised. I mean, I would think that there'd be more intelligence because evidently this gentleman put out a video. And we would monitor chatter and we'd have algorithms that pull things mm-hmm. from social media that we'd be looking at and following up on. So I'm a little surprised more of that stuff didn't go on. I wasn't there. I wasn't part of the detail, but it seemed to me that something like this should not have occurred.
Right.
All of the normal protocols, at least back when I was involved, were in place.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I was telling you during the break, I've covered many, many such events in my secular media career. And even when we were at the March for Life in 2017 after the election of President Donald Trump, and he came, or was it 18? I'm trying to remember when he came to speak. Well, there was Vice President Pence came, and then the following year, I think it was that Trump came. And so you had so much security. At one point, we were actually, the EWTN team, we were actually hunkered down in the tent, and there were guards surrounding our circle, and they wouldn't let us out until the sweep was done. That's how serious it is. But also, Deacon, you know what it's like in these situations. Not only is the perimeter, the security perimeter, checked, not once, not twice, but several times, but one of the biggest things they look for are buildings, right, where someone could get an elevated position to fire a weapon. This is what is just blowing my mind as someone, again, who's covered this type of thing extensively, that this building was left open, wide open. There was a ladder that wasn't blocked off, apparently, going up the side of the building. And then the fact that people on the ground were shouting, there's a man on the roof with a gun, and apparently, and this is what we saw in a lot of videos yesterday, informing law enforcement of what was going on. So many questions. How could that building be left unattended, do you think?
It shouldn't have. As simple as that. I mean, those buildings should have been cleared. There should have been protocols in place to prevent anyone from entering into the building. Typically what they do, especially for office buildings, they clear all the floors.
Right.
That a shooter could probably perch from. And so why that wasn't done in this particular case, like I said, I'm not involved in this anymore, but I'm not sure. It should have, in my opinion, been done.
Now, in terms of the phone, they're claiming that the phone is still locked of this 20-year-old. That is something that the reporter in me is saying, excuse me? Here we have the most intelligent and the best of the best and the brightest, I would think, with not only Secret Service, but then you've got DEA, you've got the FBI, all these different agencies and local police who are supposed to be experts at cracking into this type of thing. And they're saying they can't get into his phone. That, to me, seems highly suspect.
Yeah, I find it a little bit hard to believe myself. There's definitely technology exists to get into someone's phone. I mean, think about it. I mean, I was having a conversation with someone in a car about some kind of pair of shoes or something like that. And all of a sudden on my social media, all these ads started showing
right.
up about shoes.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the phones are listening, they're monitoring things, and if someone's phone is locked, there's definitely ways that they can get to that phone. One of the ways they can do it is even have the phone company open the phone, Verizon, whoever, provides a service to get into the phone as well. So I find that a little bit difficult to believe.
Yeah. And also, someone with your background, what concerns me, and I'm sure concerns you, and also obviously from a spiritual perspective, because we respect all life from womb to tomb, is this very shocking, because if this can happen on Saturday, God forbid it could happen to another candidate, another elected official, and this is a matter of national security now, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that someone was able to get this close to taking a life. The Congress actually put out a statement.
Yes, I saw that. Bishop Cousins did. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about mm-hmm. this thing. So you're right. So now with large gatherings, you know, particularly if people have a particular religious belief or ideology or political bent, you know, there's some worry there that this kind of thing could spread. And that's sad and that's tragic. That in a country that purports freedom, that we have so much anger, so much division, so much vitriol, then instead of saying, like, okay, I don't like this person, I just won't vote for them, try to kill them. I mean, that's it's sad. And it's demonic, quite frankly,
mm-hmm.
Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing, and that's what Satan does. He divides. He divides along race. He divides along gender. He's dividing this country in so many different ways. And I think we Catholics need to step up and take the lead in helping uniting people.
Yep.
The banner of Jesus
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Banner of Jesus Christ and pull a St. Francis, right, and be peaceful. Think about that beautiful prayer of St. Francis in peace. Deacon, we're going to let you go. I know you have to get ready for a flight, and you have a big week this week. Of course, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, the dynamic deacon, an amazing speaker, author, and deacon. He's also a life coach, and he's also the host every single day, 4 p.m. Eastern, Beacon of Truth with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers right here on EWTN. And he will be, you're going to be doing the show live, right, from the Eucharistic Congress?
That's correct.
All right, my friend. Well, safe travels. I know it's not exactly a hop, skip, and a jump from Australia to Indiana, but we'll pray for safe travels. And thank you for joining us. It's 11:30 in Australia, 11:36 now, and you're just so kind to be with us and appreciate your insight. And again, Deacon Harold has extensive background in law enforcement, and as you heard him speak of the different details on which he's worked, this is why we wanted his area of expertise, plus, of course, his expertise as someone who loves Jesus and the church. Someone else who loves Jesus and the church, Father Mitch Pacwa, wrapping us up on a Monday morning. Look forward to chatting with him. And we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we reach out in love with the truth, but also peacefully. We'll be right back.
This, in my opinion, looking at it before the investigation, is a massive security failure. This is a breach in security, because the one thing that we know is that when you're setting up in advance, you're looking at every single area where a shooter could fire from, where they could take high ground.
That bullet went just apparently a millimeter from doing real and permanent damage to him, or perhaps taking his life. And it's just kind of a surreal thing.
Wrapping up our coverage this morning from a truly Catholic perspective on the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump on Saturday at a rally in Pennsylvania outside of Pittsburgh. On the phone with us this morning is Father Mitch Pacwa, of course, and we know him well from his great work at EWTN, his many best-selling books, his expertise on scripture and history, especially history within the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Father, I just wanted to get your insights and what you've been praying about since the shooting on Saturday, because I think right now we all need to pull together, keep our eyes on Jesus, yes, but understand that we all have a part in supporting our country, loving our country, but most of all, putting beauty and truth out there. Just your thoughts this morning, and thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. One of the things that I want to note right away is that, both candidates, Biden and Trump, spoke with each other after this event, and were both grateful. I think everybody should be grateful that they could speak, not just because of the political tensions, but that former President Trump was not killed. That would have been catastrophic. Secondly, I think we have to pay close attention to the investigations about the alleged shooter, mm-hmm. that this is something to help us tone down some of the politicization of the issue. It doesn't seem to be that he had political motives. He, at the outset, he looks like someone who may have been disturbed.
Bullied. Greatly bullied in high school. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as one former policeman said, he's the kind of person that goes from loner and loser to lion in a brief moment and then dies. And that's tragic for him, for his family, and especially for the poor man that was murdered by him.
Yeah.
And his family. I mean, this is foolishness of the highest degree. Now, the other thing that I sense is everyone involved in the campaigning is looking to tone down the heat and not make this, something about the enemy. Not everybody. There's some. And I think, more mature heads need to take a listen to those who are trying to say, well, the Republicans should have done this, or the Democrats should have done this. No, we have to pay attention to the Secret Service, and pay close attention to this. Not just, well, it's all their fault. It's the reality is, from former Secret Service agents, when you're on a campaign with an ex-president, or any time with an ex-president, you do not get the same kind of protection that you get with the living president. That's just a flat reality.
Right.
Reality. Secondly, the Secret Service has less staff in the field because they're at the convention to lock that down. So that's another issue. But looking at the failures, and this is something that it has to be done. I think it's time as a nation to say, look, when we're dealing with law enforcement and the military, all of this stuff about DEI and trying to use mm-hmm. our law enforcement and military to change societal attitudes is going too far. We may not allow them to neglect their primary job and divert funds and attention to DEI when their job is, you know, not that. Secret Service is there to protect citizens, especially those who are officials. Secondly, the military is there to break things and kill people. That's what they do. And they have to be well trained for that. So this is, I think, something very important.
Right. And the other thing, Father, I talked about this with Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers, as you know, has a background in law enforcement and still does a lot of consulting.
Yes, right.
And there is a big question, and the reporter in me wants to know why they can't get into this shooter's phone, and yet they're claiming he acted alone. And, well, they don't know that. I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. I'm just saying, look, we don't have all the facts, because if you don't have access to his phone, you don't know, because if he was working with someone else, there's even reports, and Raymond Arroyo mentioned this at the top of the hour, there's even reports that shots were being fired in different directions, not just from them, and then that's been put out there over the discussion the past couple of days since Saturday. And so we need to see with whom he was communicating. And what was said on the different chats and whatnot, right?
And what he's looking up, all that.
Right.
And, you know, the phone companies tend to be extremely careful about allowing the government to get into other people's phones in an investigation. I don't know if they're willing to make an exception in this case, but I think it would be worthwhile for them to consider that. This is something that may be larger than that one individual. We don't know. Finding out as much as is possible is important, because it may not be only former President Trump, but also President Biden or other individuals who could be at risk. You just need to get the facts. And other people have to be careful about trying to get the facts or assume the facts when they don't know.
Right, right. And also, Father, I think we have to be very careful, and I know that you do the same thing I do. You look around and you listen to other networks, but we have to be careful to take the media, secular media, with a grain of salt, because we know what's happened the last couple of months in terms of people saying that they're shocked that the poor performance of President Biden at the debate, this is not the president we knew. Well, there are many people who are very concerned and raise concerns about his cognitive ability or lack thereof prior to the debate, and the media were saying that everything was fine, don't look here, it's no big deal, everything's wonderful. And so we have to understand that the media may be interested, in this case as well, in putting forth a particular agenda. As a matter of fact, if you look at some of the coverage right away, CNN said the president fell, President Trump fell on Saturday. That was one of their first reports. Some called it an apparent assassination attempt. And so there was this downplaying of what happened when it was pretty obvious for anybody watching that what the case was. So we think we have to be, and you mentioned this last week, we have to be really savvy consumers of the media.
Well, that's the other thing, too, because, you know, you notice little things, and we have to, there's two elements. One, do pay attention to the media and subtleties. So, for instance, I was watching CNN this morning, and they wouldn't say Trump's name. It reminded me of Harry Potter, the name that must not be named. And so, grow up. You know, they have to just say, former President Trump, and when you're dealing with him. But at the same time, not go overly crazy. Because some of the media can be super ideologues. And, I just happened to hear that on CNN. I mean, this is across the news media. I don't want to only pick on them. I think we have to be alert to any and all of the media and just always be evaluating what they say, why they're saying it, and their ideology. Put that into context. Don't get mad. Well, they're ideological. Of course they are. But, you know, this is normal. That's why you want a wide media, and so that you can get a variety of sources and sift them out, but listen with alertness. That's going to be key.
And that, the church teaches us that. The church says that in the catechism. It says that in different documents, the World Communications Day statement from John Paul II, and also Rapid Development and so many other documents. Inter Mirifica talks about this from Vatican II. Super, super important to be media consumers, to take it in wisely and well. We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa, getting his perspective after the attempted assassination of Donald Trump on Saturday. Father, I just can't stop thinking about that family in Pennsylvania. There's still two people hospitalized. My understanding is they're out of critical condition. They're stable right now, but that could mean anything. Stable really doesn't give us any idea. But my understanding is they have been moved out of critical in terms of identifying where they're at medically. But this family, yes. I just, oh my goodness, what a wonderful man. He's just loved by the community, 50 years old, volunteer firefighter. And you talk about sacrifice. He threw himself on top of his family too, so they could avoid bullets.
Exactly. That is another aspect of this. We want to also look at authentic heroism. The shooter was cowardly. And anybody who does that kind of a sucker punch attempt at anybody, whether it's the cowards roaming the streets and robbing stores, or in this assassination attempt. These are low-down cowards. And we have to have a sense of, you know, looking to the heroes that know how to stand up for others. That's what this man did. And I'm offering my Mass for him and the repose of his soul. I think all of us can join in praying for him. I pray for praying for the soul of the shooter. Mm-hmm. He may be, and for his family. I have no doubt that those people are going through horrendous personal torment and family torment. Not only did they lose a son, it's his responsibility for what he did, but still, your son is dead. And no matter how that happens, again, we don't know anything about them and their own family problems or difficulties with him. But at this point, it's a family that's also grieving, and I suspect feeling a great deal of embarrassment and shame. I don't know their politics. That doesn't matter. They're a grieving family. Pray for them. This is what Christians do. Others would look and say, we've got to get back at these people. That's not us. That's not what we do. And we look to say, all right, how can we be sources of healing? And how can we also be sources of clear thinking through all of this? That's another gift that we bring. We live in a society that disregards logic and thought. In the face of that, we are called to be even more logical and more thoughtful about these circumstances. And it's not easy, because we get our emotions involved all the time.
Yeah.
But this is part of our task as Christians.
Amen. Father, well said. Thank you so much for your perspective. Look forward for picking up the conversation and, of course, also talking about the Eucharistic Congress. And you join us, God willing, on Thursday morning for Cultural Connections. Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, this wraps up our special edition of Catholic Connection this morning, getting right into the incident on Saturday, the attempted assassination on Donald Trump, and looking at it from a Catholic perspective. We'll be right back to wrap up the program. Stay tuned.
K-Rouse Jewelry has made it their mission to provide custom jewelry at unbeatable prices. As a master diamond setter with 45 years of experience, Tony K-Rouse will create the perfect engagement ring, anniversary gift, or even do complex repairs at a fraction of the costs. Visit K. Ruse Jewelry at 504 Main Street in Belleville next to T-Mobile or call 734-444-2323. That's 734-444-2323.
The history books tell of many times and places in which the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, decided that for the good of the state, some element of its population should be killed, like the Irish or African slaves or Jews or priests. While the Christian tradition maintains that human life is sacred, don't assume that the world agrees. Accordingly, many of the mothers, fathers, and grandparents bringing an unborn child to the abortuary know that they are killing a human being, yet have no problem with it, because history has taught them that human life is not sacred, and that occasionally certain members of society have to be sacrificed. Therefore, the pro-life movement cannot argue simply that human life is sacred. It must argue why it is sacred. The pro-life movement should show the world that as the person struggles with loneliness, runs from death, seeks answers, seeks beauty, the person is showing that he belongs to God. GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Unveiling the Covenant is the newest program from Ave Maria Radio.
What is a covenant? It's a vowed exchange of lives which results in an unbreakable family bond. Throughout Scripture, God seeks to espouse all mankind to himself in an unbreakable covenant bond. His covenantal love is a free gift, but it necessitates a response from us. We are free to accept or reject it. Let's learn what this means as we unveil the covenants.
Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Bishop David Zubik of the Diocese of Pittsburgh issued a statement, as did many bishops in the USCCB and Bishop Cousins from the Eucharistic Congress. But Bishop Zubik, in whose diocese this horrible incident occurred on Saturday, said, "Let us join together in prayer for the health and safety of all, for healing and peace, and for an end to the climate of violence in our world. May God guide and protect us all." Amen to that. More coverage on this tomorrow. Don't forget, a brand new show starting on Ave Maria Radio and EWTN today, Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Marcus B. Peter. God bless us all. God bless America. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Money. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.